This is Mark Twain Speaks. Kindly listen as Mark Twain performer Don McNeil brings the wit and wisdom of America's favorite humorist to life. Everyone is welcome, and cigar smoking is encouraged.
Talking strains my memory, much more so than writing does. It makes sense that that would be the case. I just said that twice in a row. The older I get, the less I care about grammar and usage. I do wonder about how things are translated. In Latvia, does anyone care about the language of race the way we do in America? No doubt they have a word for slavery. What they cannot have is context. My grandparents and my parents owned slaves. If the Civil War and Mr. Lincoln had not ended slavery, would I have been a slave owner? I did serve very briefly as a Confederate soldier. I deserted, and the Confederacy fell. As I search my memory, I did not join the Confederate Army to preserve the institution of slavery. I joined because all the other Missouri boys were joining, and I dare say I'm not the first person who joined for just that reason. My mother certainly expected that I would join. It's hard to imagine facing her otherwise when I was a young man. Of course, after I skedaddled, well, to translate that, after I ran away, I went west where slavery was not an issue. Were the folks out west kinder or more enlightened than Southerners? I feel very qualified to deal with that question directly. The answer is, simply put, no. Slavery, of course, had not and would not spread to the Western states. Were they better people for that? Well, they weren't better people in that sense, not in my experience. They abused the Chinese population unmercifully. The Chinese were the lowest rung of Western society, and they had no more defenders than the black slaves in Mississippi had. The Chinese were not allowed in taverns or restaurants. Is it any wonder that they would choose to open restaurants of their own if no one else would take them? They always had a reputation for being very clean people. When they quickly took over the business of cleaning clothes, well, it was no surprise. They were thought of as honest and humble people. So it was natural that all the rich people in San Francisco wanted Chinese women to clean their homes. Many didn't trust the Irish to do that same job. The Irish were thought of as hard workers, but less than honest. There were always stories about theft and drinking on the job among the Irish. You know, there might have been one real example of an Irish cleaning woman stealing alcohol to take home for her drunken husband. But that story was told and retold 1,000 times until it became universally accepted and the Irish could not be trusted in private homes. Besides, the Chinese could be hired to work for next to nothing. They were openly ridiculed and even physically bullied in the streets. The San Francisco police didn't hesitate to display their clubs to beat the Chinese, even in public. Nobody dared stick up for the Sons of China, especially where the police were involved. This situation finally got the best of me. I submitted a newspaper article detailing the abuses of the San Francisco police when it came to the Chinese. I was warned by the publisher of the newspaper that this article could not be published. Nobody was allowed to criticize the police force. A rumor circulated that the Chinese were less susceptible to head injuries than whites, blacks, or Mexicans. This lie had a purpose, as most lies do. It made the practice of beating the Chinese on the head acceptable, if that word can be used in that regard. This falsehood lost its value when Chinese men died from these beatings. I left out one detail. I was fired by my newspaper for insisting that the article be printed, and I was unable to find employment as a writer for some time. No matter. I would later find employment covering a group of people more notorious than the slave owners of Mississippi or the police force of San Francisco. Of course, I'm referring to the United States Congress.